Hello and welcome to our podcast for her. This is Anamika with you, and with us today, we are joined by our two special guests. But before starting a podcast, let me tell you that today we are going to cover a very special and important topic, where we will focus on elaborating on some financial tips for homemakers. So today we are joined by a special guest, Shweta Jain. She is a certified financial planner with over 15 years of experience across financial planning, research and client servicing. She is also the author of My Conversations with Money. She is a frequent contributor on Money Control and is often quoted in print and a regular face on television media. Along with Shweta Jain, we are joined by one more special guest in our podcast today, and she is Mrs. Alpa Shah, who is a social entrepreneur, author and finance professional. Mrs. Alpa Shah is also the founder Empower Education and also the author of the book Every Woman Should Invest. So I am delighted to have you both here on a podcast today. Welcome to a podcast. So why don't I turn the floor over to you, Shweta, to get us started by first providing a bit more background about why homemakers should care about these financial tips.
Thank you, Anamika. I'm quite happy to join you today. The reality is that whether you're an office-going woman or a homemaker, it's important to have good money management skills in order that you can stretch your budget while saving to meet your many financial goals. There are numerous ways to help save on your monthly expenditures, both big and small, and they all add up to many rupees over any given year. Similarly, there are many basic financial tips that everyone should be familiar with in order to set you and your family up for financial success. I look forward to discussing some of these during today's podcast.
Thank you so much, Shweta. That's a great, succinct way of explaining why homemakers, as much as anyone else, need to play a crucial role in the financial dynamics of the family. In fact, I often hear that housewives are the backbone of society. Indeed, in India, for example, a housewife is often responsible for caring for multiple generations of people in one household, and these invaluable family members have to deal with numerous household expenses on a daily and monthly basis. So, Alpa, why don't you start with one of your top financial tips for homemakers?
Thank you, Anamika. Well, budgeting is key. In fact, there is likely no one in the household who is better equipped to manage the monthly expenses than a homemaker. It's not enough to know how and where to get the best household deals. Every homemaker needs to know how much is being spent on groceries, utilities, bill, loan payments, school fees, insurance, and so much more. By keeping track of every expense in a detailed spreadsheet, it's much easier to see where you might be spending money casually and cut back accordingly. While it definitely requires some effort initially, having a budget will enable you to be more confident and secure in your ability to manage your everyday finances, cope with unexpected costs, and plan for the future. Of course, spending money is a necessity. The trick is to spend less than you earn. By tracking your spending on a regular basis, you have an accurate picture of where your money is going and where you might take it to the go instead. Consider budgeting based on what brings you joy and on those expenses that align with your core values. Remember that there is always room for improvement. As you track, you should also be ready to adjust. If your budget is really unbalanced, you may need to change the same of your wants to make trade-offs to keep your budget on track. And this may seem basic, but always pay your bills on time to avoid late fees, additional interests, or a negative impact on your credit score. Lastly, I urge all of you to check your account statements on a regular basis. You need to take a regular audit and inventory of your accounts, including your savings, checking, and credit card accounts. This enables you to resolve anything that looks incorrect detect a potential fraud issue, and also keep yourself accountable for your spending.
Thank you so much, Alpa. I really liked 2-3 points which you have just mentioned above, that the trick is to spend less than you earn and consider budgeting based on what brings you joy and on those expenses that align with your core values. That makes a lot of sense, Alpa. I know that having savings is really important. I don't know if you are like me, Shweta, but I seem to be barely able to make ends meet on a monthly basis, let alone put money aside. Do you have any tips, Shweta, to help me and the other women managing a household do so?
I most certainly do, Anamika. First and foremost, it's important to save a portion of the family's income for future financial needs. And it's equally important that you don't keep those savings hidden under a mattress in the house. At a minimum, you need to deposit your savings so that you earn some interest on them. The first and one of the most important savings account is for an emergency account, which is available in the event of any unplanned emergency, or if your spouse or you lose the job or get sick, or you have any unplanned expense. By having an emergency savings fund, you won't have to get a high interest rate loan or rack up your credit bills. Ideally, you should have 3 to 6 months worth of expenses saved in your emergency fund. Even if you don't have much left after making your budget, always ensure that you set aside money for savings and emergencies and for your future needs, any goals or like retirement.
Absolutely correct. Very well explained, Shweta. Indeed, I agree that you just never know when you might need access to money unexpectedly, Shweta. The recent pandemic was a perfect example of that, because many people found themselves suddenly unemployed during the pandemic, either because of the industry they were in or the need to care for children who were suddenly at home, among other reasons. Many of these same people found themselves with insufficient savings in their emergency fund and sometimes the need to borrow. So Alpa, coming to the next question about how much money should we be saving monthly then?
This is a great question, Anamika. If you follow the popular 50-30-20 budgeting rule, you will spend 50% of the household income on necessities like your child's tuition fees, transportation, utility bills, etc. Then you should allocate 30% of your household income for wants like a vacation, new clothes, or a new car, going out for dinner or for a movie, etc. The last 20% should be allocated to savings, both for the short term and long term. This includes saving in an emergency fund as well as saving for other goals like your children's education or your retirement. If you can't put 20% aside quite yet, aim to put a minimum of 5% of your income aside in savings. Another recommendation I have is to always plan for a major purchase, like a TV or a new car. Not only should you budget and save in advance, but always do your research for the most suitable product at the best possible price. Lastly, try to avoid using your credit cards for purchases as much as possible.
Absolutely, Alpa. I found the last point very interesting, especially for me and for all the listeners who are listening to our podcast right now. And I find this tip so interesting, Alpa. I get points for using my credit card. So isn't it a good idea to build up my points so that I can get free stuff, Shweta?
I thought you'd never ask, Anamika. In fact, I recommend that you use cash instead of credit. As compelling as getting those points or cash back may seem, by using cash instead of credit, it's easier to stick to your budget and avoid overspending. We often start the month with the best of intentions, thinking that we will just put a few things on our credit card and plan to pay it all back in full at the end of the month. Unfortunately, unexpected expenses may come up over the month that prevent that, or spending creeps up before you know it and you are unable to pay your credit card bill in full. The interest charges on credit card balances are extremely high, so it's best if you don't put yourself in the position of not being able to pay your credit card balance in full. When you spend cash, you physically see the money leave your wallet, and this can help you better manage how much you spend. If you end up in the unenviable position of carrying a costly credit card balance, you will waste a lot of your hard-earned money on interest charges. And in the unlikely event that you can't afford your monthly payment, you can also negatively impact your credit score, which isn't good either.
Absolutely. That really does make a lot of sense, Shweta. I never really thought about it that way. Given the importance of having an emergency fund and savings put aside, we must also always stay ahead of inflation and interest rates on savings don't always do so. I know that it's also important to invest so you have sufficient money to meet your medium to long-term goals. So Alpa, can you expand on this a little bit more, please?
Yes. Investing for the future is important for everyone at every age. The only way to achieve your financial and life goals is to grow your money, and the best way to do that is by investing. Investing money is the process of using your money to buy an asset or securities that you think have a good chance of producing an income in the future, or which later can be sold at a higher price for a profit. Investing your money typically requires a longer term perspective in order to realize the potential benefits. Over the long term, history has always proven that investing in the stock markets is the best way to grow your hard-earned money. A combination of saving and investing gives you the greatest chance of being successful in meeting your personal and financial goals. You should invest some part of your income regularly, and one of the easiest and most convenient ways is through a systematic investment plan, also called a SIP. A SIP allows you to invest a fixed amount of money on a predetermined basis. The money, which is withdrawn directly from your bank account, is typically invested in a mutual fund or other investment of your choice at an interval that best suits you, like weekly, monthly, or quarterly. SIPs allow you to invest in a disciplined way, and there are numerous other benefits rather than having a write, check, or remember to move funds around. SIPs provide the convenience of doing this for you automatically upon setting up the SIP with your bank or a mutual fund company. The fixed amount of money may vary by bank or mutual fund company, but can be as low as 500 rupees. SIPs are also very convenient because you can decrease or increase the amount you invest as necessary, or even easily you can stop or pause the SIP.
Absolutely, and that is a great advice, Alpa, for all of our listeners who are listening to our podcast right now. It sounds like if you haven't already, you should talk to your bank or mutual fund company about setting up a systematic investment plan, that is SIP. I also know that when it comes to investing, the sooner you start, the better. It all has to do with the power of compounding. So Shweta, can you briefly explain what that is, please?
Sure, Anamika. Don't worry, it's honestly not as scary as it sounds. As you know, the money you save earns interest, whether it is in savings, equities, or mutual funds. When you save, you earn interest on the money you originally saved plus on the interest you've accumulated. You might be wondering why compound interest is so important. It's important because it causes your wealth to grow faster. In fact, according to Albert Einstein, compound interest is the eighth wonder of the world. He who understands it earns it. He who doesn't pays it. One of the key success factors of benefiting from compounding is that time matters and you need to be invested for the longer term. So not only do you benefit from the power of compounding, but you also help reduce your risk by staying invested through multiple market cycles. Basically, the more time you have, the better you can grow your money and the more goals you can fulfill because you always have the benefit of the power of compounding. Essentially, the act of adding interest on interest, which grows your wealth over time.
Absolutely, very well explained, Shweta. In fact, the example which you gave just now, that according to Albert Einstein, Compound interest is the eighth wonder of the world. He who understands it earns it. He who doesn't pays it. Absolutely correct. So moving forward with the next question of this podcast is, although it sounds rather complex, it isn't that complicated of a concept. So there is another really important form of investing, and that is to invest in yourself and your ongoing financial literacy. Right, Alpa? Can you please share your thoughts as to why this is important?
Great question and very dear to my heart, Anamika. Quite simply, knowledge is power. So too is financial literacy power. Financial literacy is the capacity to comprehend and manage personal finances and is a skill that every woman should have. Financial literacy is the foundation of your relationship with money, and it is a lifelong journey of learning. The earlier you start, the better off you will be. Unfortunately, women in India still often have limited financial knowledge. There is always something new to learn when it comes to personal finances, and there is no wrong time to improve your financial literacy. The more financially literate you become, the more it can help you take actions that ultimately bring you closer to a state of financial well-being. Indeed, the greater your financial literacy, the better your chance to manage money with greater ease and less stress. You will also potentially be more prepared for when life takes unexpected turns and may be able to more easily identify the financial opportunities that best suit your needs. Making financial literacy a lifelong pursuit should be a priority, as the world of personal finance is ever-evolving, and staying informed helps keep you on a path to financial well-being. For women, it is even more important to normalize conversations about money and educate ourselves about finance. The sooner you start, the more confident you will become in making your own decisions and managing your own finances. By increasing your financial literacy, you are in a better place to achieve your life and career goals more effectively. There is no better time than the present to enhance your financial literacy.
Great suggestion, Alpa. That makes me want to run out and sign up for a course in financial literacy. So, Shweta, coming back to you, seeing as that homemakers play such an important role when it comes to household finances, so do you have any thoughts on what to do when the budget simply doesn't balance no matter how much you cut back on expenses?
Yes, I do. There will be instances when expenses are higher than your income. If you have already exhausted some of the basics of budget cutting, like eliminating eating out at restaurants, cutting back on clothing, entertainment, and other discretionary expenses, and reviewing your utility bills to ensure you have the best possible plans, for example, you may wish to consider ways to increase your income instead. Increasingly, there are part-time jobs available online, freelance, or by contract, where you might be able to help contribute to the income of the household. Or consider turning a hobby into a source of income if you can. Or perhaps by taking a course online and enhancing your skills, you can find a way to translate that into a part-time job. And don't forget that it is never too late to start or learn something new. At the end of the day, any extra income can help you balance your budget and give you more financial flexibility and stability.
So thank you so much for all your invaluable insights, Shweta Jain and Alpa Shah, for joining us today in a podcast.
Thank you for having
me.
I know that I have certainly learned a lot about some easy and practical financial tips for not just homemakers, but for almost anyone who is trying to budget and run a household. So thank you to all our listeners for joining us today. Keep joining us, and we will continue to bring more informative episodes. Till then, stay tuned and keep listening to our podcast For Her. Thank you. An investor education and awareness initiative of Aditya Birla Sun Life Mutual Fund. All investors have to go through a one-time KYC, Know Your Customer process. Investors to invest only with SEBI registered mutual funds. For further information on KYC, list of SEBI registered mutual funds and redressal of complaints, including details about SEBI Scores portal, visit link bit.ly/birlakyc for further details. Mutual fund investments are subject to market risks. Read all scheme-related documents carefully.